The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Art Talk Golden Bay with Grant Knowles, where I talk to the artists about their art practice, what inspires them, their journey, and all their little secrets and passions. So come on a journey of discovery to find out firsthand the world of art, brought to you by the Art Vault Takaka.
Good morning and welcome to Art Talk in the studio this morning. I have Georgina West. Good morning, Georgina, and welcome to the show.
Morning, Grant.
Yeah, hey, thanks for coming in this morning. Look, you're an artist in the Bay. You're a practicing artist, but you're also the art teacher at the high school.
No, I'm the art teacher at the high school. I have been for 3 years full-time now.
How do you find that?
It's a busy job. It keeps you on your toes. But, yeah, it's really rewarding as well.
So tell me about, you know, how it works with schools, because I don't really know. I didn't do art at school. And is it quite, you have to stick to a certain, have you got, how much freedom have you got?
Well, the New Zealand school system is set up with a curriculum for art, and there is criteria for the students to meet. And it is the same sort of thing. Every subject has its criteria, and the student's work is marked against that criteria, or they have to meet certain criteria in their work.
So things like you have to do human form, or you have to do nature, or is it that limited?
Well, in senior level, it's actually broken down into areas within, like the painting and photography that we mostly teach at this high school. It's broken down in conventions that the students have to be looking like they've covered and understanding. So when we talk about conventions, we're talking about composition, use of colour, how they're using their theme, use of symbolism, texture and form, in photography and painting, texture and form, use of line. So it's all kind of encompasses several different things they've got to start thinking about. But within that, they might be looking at certain sorts of photographs that only concentrate really on form or line or something like that, or only have it within a theme. So I've got, like with Amelie's work that's in the vault at the moment, she's looking at the relationship between land and texture and body as well. But as they were in the junior level, we give them structured program, and they were introduced the idea of using an artist model. And that really works specifically with Western art, is how art is taught. And it's from taking an artist model for influence, and specifically what parts of that artist model you like, and bringing that to your work to help develop your work. So that might be using the way one artist model uses composition and how they break up the frame, and then it might be how another artist model, their theme that they use. And in some situations at senior level, it might be that a student is not just using one artist model to help influence their work, but they're using multiple ones, and as they go through the year, they find other things that influence them from other artist models. And I keep describing to the kids, it's like being a magpie. So you're like, oh, that's really good. I quite like what that artist is doing. And I like the way they're using texture or something, and that I can help build and develop my work through that. Or that was a really interesting composition I saw in that artist model, and I'm going to bring that idea to my work and help build it. Or so it is about, especially at senior level, is the year is broken up into establishing an idea and then working through it and developing it and seeing where it goes.
Okay, so an idea, or so you're talking about a body of work?
Is that
an important aspect of it, having an actual body of work?
It does end up being a body of work, specifically for the seniors. The way that the NCA is broken up now, it has a research topic at level one, and then they start developing an idea, and what they've brought in is that they've got to present 8 pages of a really good workbook as an external. It goes to be an external exam. It's going to be sent up to Wellington to be marked with many thousands of other workbooks. We're not sure how NZQA is going to do it yet and do that marking. And then they've also now just got a single folio panel, which has to be full of finished works. But that portfolio panel has to show a development of ideas. And through those types of conventions that I talked about, are they developing it thematically, compositionally, the use of technique? And that's the same, essentially, working with level two and level three. And as they get older as well, I'm there to structure them, but as the ideal is by the time they're in year 13, I'm there to walk beside them, and it's there. I'm not holding their hand as such, that, but we're discussing things together and where things can go. And it is the idea that it's a lead up to where they would head to art school,
right? So for instance, you really are not interested in painting, drawing, but really have a sculptural concept. How easy is that within the system?
So, because we're a small school, Golden Bay High, we are only offering painting and photography at senior level. We do look at sculptural ideas in junior level specifically, but what I say to the kids is, if you have an interest in sculpture, and we can twist it into being a photography subject as well, so we can present it as photography, or it could be presented as part of a painting folio. So, and in the real world too, as working artists, we don't just work with one medium and that's it. We're working in multiple mediums and getting influenced by different ways of working as well. And that's a contemporary way of working as well. So I do have students that are really interested in printmaking, but we don't offer it anymore. But like I said, we can to them, and exactly what actually Lucy's doing, who's going to have the exhibition coming up soon, is working her printmaking in with her painting. So it's a combined type of thing, and it's actually, yeah, it works quite lovely.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I understand resources obviously a little bit tricky to get the broadness of giving students enough ability to stretch themselves out and really explore the things that are passionate about that. Yeah. tell me, how hard was it for you to transition into doing teaching as I know you've done a degree in art or master's, is that right?
I did my master's in sculpture.
Yeah,
so sculpture. I'd love to teach sculpture.
Yeah.
Keep painting.
yep. However, how easy is it to sort of transition? Because, did you train as a teacher?
Yeah, so my background, I trained as a secondary school, well, they call it visual art teacher, and I started off teaching photography and sculpture and junior classes. And I taught for about 8 years in Christchurch, and I decided I needed to have a breakaway, and I went and was a customs officer for a couple of years, which was extremely dull. But I also, because I did sculpture at art school, I was always in the workshop, and that was something that I wanted to follow through on, was to get more skills. So I decided to go and do my pre-trade for engineering, and I went and got a... So I'm trade qualified, went and did an apprenticeship, so they call it trade qualified. I'm a trade qualified fitter and machinist. And I worked in that area for a wee while, and that's what I was working at when I came to the Bay. And then I've slowly kind of got back into teaching and started doing relief, and then I went back overseas. I went overseas and taught for a little bit in China and came back. So what they've got me doing at the school is teaching art, but I'm also in the workshop teaching the juniors. So I'm kind of, I like doing that, and respect that I can bring the creative side a bit more to the workshop.
So in the metal workshop?
Yeah, in the metal and woodwork workshop.
Yeah, I know. When I was at school, I went to woodwork and metalwork, and my immediate reaction, and I was very naive, and I said, well, can we make a coffee table with metal legs, a wooden coffee table with metal legs, and bring the two in. And both the teachers sort of scratched their heads for a moment. Like, nobody, I couldn't believe it, you know. Nobody had ever come up with this idea for some reason. And they went, good idea.
It used to be the traditional way was you didn't cross the departmental, so the woodwork wouldn't have anything to do with woodwork. But it's not like that down here. And that's one of the cool things about the school is there's a lot of crossover, and the students are known really well and what their interests are. So, and the teachers know that, so there's,
So hence the art coming into the shop work as well, workshop work as well.
Yeah, and I was just helping Lucy chop up her boards for her exhibition painting.
Yeah,
this afternoon in the workshop.
Yeah, so I love that we it is important to teach a variety of things. I imagine there's no opportunity to do any smithing and blacksmithing, but. Or is there in the metalwork?
They haven't there. They have got a little foundry. So there's Ben Knuth, who's head of doing senior engineering. He's been doing some foundry work and casting.
Oh yeah.
And so the students have it's actually a really cool project. Mm. And I think the students think, this is a bit. Why are we making a clamp? But it is actually quite involved, and they've got to make the mould for the clamp, and then they've got to cast it, and they smelter their own aluminium, and then on the lathe they're cutting a thread for it, and so it's quite a bit to it. And there's quite a lot of skills they make out of it.
Is this lost wax? Or is it sand?
It's sand.
Yeah. Yeah, because let's face it, lost wax is a sculptural form of bronze casting, wouldn't you love to see the schools just be able to teach a bit more of this stuff and give a lot of those children who prefer the opportunity of being an artist to actually thrive and play with some of these different amazing mediums?
Definitely. Mm. It's just limited and it's money. And even when I was at art school, they'd taken away the foundry. I went to Canterbury.
Yeah.
And they'd taken the foundry away, so there wasn't any casting done there. But we had plaster Paris for miles. But
And does jewellery come into your curriculum at all?
We have. I've got quite an interest for jewellery myself, so if there's a student that's interested, I'll sort of give them a wee nudge and have a little play, especially in the workshop situation. But we have done programs with Year 9 in the past, and they've made jewellery out of pewter, and they've done cuttlefish moulding and casting them in pewter making up their own little moulds. And there was it's a little technique with copper and a little heat gun and it's embossing, it's a plastic or a glass on it, which I know Ben's done, but I haven't actually done that technique as well.
So, there is a wee bit of option to sort of broaden and the sort of, poking paint with a brush.
And there is planned with the new curriculum coming through, but it's going to take a couple of years, that there is it's going to be joined to the to the arts. And it's a more of an open, at senior level, an open subject. So if a student has a really interest in it, it might be sound production, or it might be lighting, or it might be related to carving, or maybe Māori tikanga weaving, or that it's not specifically under the umbrellas of our traditional subjects, that they can go and explore that and develop that within a curriculum framework, and
they
present a big project at the end. But that is coming. It hasn't turned up yet.
Yeah.
So I think that will be starting level two.
I guess it's hoping to get the resources to be able to do these things, and smaller schools, less resources?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's a kind of catch-22, I suppose, because we're a smaller school, but we're also... If a student has got a really good interest in something or a strength, that the teachers are really there to support them, and as well as what happens in the community, it has to be recognised here in Takaka, the amazing drama and the music that goes on with the youth is incredible.
Yeah, well, that's all art.
Yeah, exactly. So the community really supports the youth here as well in their development.
So do you have an opportunity to send any of the students out to other artists in their studios to get an idea of what's going on?
It has been up to them at the present moment. And if they've got an interest, yeah.
Mm.
We do, yeah, that's a good question. And, I mean, I'm always pushing them to get to the galleries. And the students that are really interested in art have actually generally got parents that are quite interested. It seems to run in the family.
It does, doesn't it?
As well.
Amelie's a good one example of that, three generations.
Yeah, it is.
At least. So I just wanted to move into what Amelie's done and Art Vault has collaborated, I think, quite nicely with this high school to bring more student art into a professional environment for the community to see, and also for the student to feel like, okay, I've gone into a professional gallery. And is that something that you feel is what sort of impact has that had on the artist and on the students?
I think it's an amazing opportunity for them, and it's something that wouldn't. Takaka is quite unique, and what's been offered at the Art Vault is really unique for them, and it's amazing on multiple levels, I think, for the students, in respect to, just like you said, the experience of going into a professional gallery, but it's also just on a personal level. One, they've got to get work done to a timeline, and they've got to be able to sell themselves. So part of that is doing up the flyer, but it's about putting themselves on the line too, and putting themselves out there in the public to come and for people to come and view their work, and that's a big thing. And even for a grown up to go and do, it's quite an achievement.
Yeah.
And it has to bring out that kind of, it's that little bit of that narcissistic side. It's like, look at me, look at me. And yeah, and it's. So it's really helpful for personal growth. It's
and incredible. also look at me, I'm very, very exposed and vulnerable, and am I going to handle the criticism?
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, it's about teaching them to be brave, to get themselves out there. I think it's a really, personally, I think it's a really good thing, because, you know, obviously we can certainly help kids either have an amazing career in art if that's where they're going, or you know, just know that this is not what where they want to go, and maybe let's just be a commercial artist somewhere in an office. But you know, like, yeah,
even if they don't carry on in an art career, it's an experience that is something that they're going to remember, definitely.
Yep.
And yeah, and that whole self growth and believing in themselves is, yeah, it's definitely something they never thought they would do. And when I said, who wants to do exhibitions at the beginning of the year? And there was, yep. And I'm going, yep, you want to do, don't you? And, you know, and yeah. And they kind of don't quite know what's happening, but it slowly gets, built into it. And then I must admit, the couple of weeks beforehand, there's this sort of look of, oh, God, what am I doing? And it starts to hit them, and you can see they get nervous. So I must admit, the student who's going to put work in this coming week, she's still working on her painting at the moment.
That's all right. it's all right.
But she was a bit nervous, so we just did a little bit of a, come on, grab the paintbrush, let's go. Mm-hmm.
So is that, do they get any credits for this in their NCA?
Yeah, so with the level 2 painters, Lucy and Lani, they have they're going to get an achievement standard out of it, and it's an achievement standard that relates to doing a project. So the project for them is doing the exhibition,
right?
And the body of work or the work.
Yeah.
The one Amelie that has just exhibition is just finishing up this week is. She has done amazingly well, and she actually got the achievement standard last year because she's been working a year ahead. So she's already, yeah, she's done some amazing things already. So it's great to see her actually do an exhibition where it's maybe not so much stress on her. So she's,
Yeah, well, her poetry is actually what has captivated much of the public. I had one woman come in and goes in tears and said, can I just have a piece of paper and write that poem down? It's just blowing me away what this young person said. And wrote all the poem out because it moved her so much. And there were tears running down her face.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I must tell Emily that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, not really cool, but it's...
Well, it's an older woman that's touched by a youth.
Yeah.
You know, and that's shows hope, eh?
Yeah. And that's what's great about students like Amelia. Mm. They've got this place in the vault to be able to have the opportunity to put their work out there and their ideas, and they've got so much talent, not just in art making, but also in the literacy side. And And her writing is amazing.
Yeah. There you go. And that's also art. Poet literacy is in its own way. And just changing the subject slightly, your own art practice, we're going back to that now because, you know, teaching is one thing, but your own art practice, does that suffer a little bit because you're actually focused on art all day at school? Do you come home, don't really feel like doing it during the weekends, but you've got projects, but you just can't, you know, how does that work for you? Because
I must admit, you're absolutely fried. So no, I haven't actually done a lot. I have put work in Bay Art, and I have a couple of years ago had an exhibition in Nelson, but yes, it is really draining. So you do, as any teacher does, gives a lot to the job, and it gets a little bit frustrating, but then there's also life as well. So I keep telling myself it's okay because I'm doing up a house and I'm trying to do the groovy things in the house that I want to. So that takes up my time as well.
And you can make them artistic.
I'm going for it.
Sculptural shelving.
Yeah. Oh, there's more all sorts of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And it's a bit of a blank canvas and a rebuild, so, as well.
Right. Yes, so I saw your wonderful photo that won Bay Art. Was it last year or the year before?
The year before.
You won Bay Art with your chainsawing woman in a...
In the blue frock.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, where did that come from? How did that pop up?
It was around an idea. So it's essentially started with the idea of a blue frock, or the idea of standardisation, and that idea of that one size doesn't fit all. But then there was other layers to that too. So I wanted to bring in a frock idea and stupidly high heels and some gloves and things and doing something completely ludicrous.
Yep.
And for me it was a feminist comment as well, is that what's expected of women, it's even still in our culture today, and that it's still restrictive in what we're expected to wear and what is deemed pretty kind of thing. So there was that part of it.
Cutting up onions with a chainsaw.
Yeah, there was I can't remember the name of the artist model, but there was a lovely image I saw, and I thought, I really like that. And it was a woman in a frock holding a chainsaw, and it's a painting. But it was that contradiction as well that I was interested in. But it was really interesting hearing what other people had to say about that. The whole thing about the kind of modern society destroying nature and things came out of it as well. I've got to give credits to my partner, Callum, because I don't know if anyone admired the large chainsaw, because it's a massive chainsaw and I can't actually lift the thing by myself hardly, and he actually was there to help me set it up. That's part of his business is forestry. Yeah. So it's a massive chainsaw, and it's over 20 kg, this thing, to lift. Yeah, and another friend helped me, Chris, do all the photographing of that as well. So that's something that's sitting in the background too. It's reminding me, Grant, there's actually quite a few photos that go with that. And I was going to be doing more with the blue frock. And we had talked about you getting it on, putting it on one day too, didn't we?
Yeah.
And getting that sort of idea of standardisation with people just doing their thing with the blue frock on.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the thing about, you know, so what I wanted to say is that the your students, they obviously saw that.
Yeah, we talked about that recently with students, students, how much I'd torment them with some of my own work at the beginning of the year and with a slideshow.
But does it inspire them?
I think so, well, I hope so, but it's also letting them understand where I'm coming from as well, mm-hmm. and what my practice is, and especially with the senior students, and being quite a new teacher at the school as well, that letting them know who this person is in front of them.
It's
wanting them to do some work and trying to get them excited.
So now I know you've got another little side project happening, and I don't know how far you've got with that, and that's a train project.
We brought that up. I have inherited a 16th of the size locomotive that my stepdad made. And my stepdad has just gone into a rest home in Stoke, actually. So he was absolutely train mad. And so it was on his property. And I've also got a kilometre of tracks with it, and it's got points and curves, and so it is stored in a shed at the moment. So that's niggling at me to get it up and going. So it's a big project to get that set up.
Oh, absolutely massive! It would take actually probably a few extra people to help out on that one and really get a community going on that.
But like I think I've talked to you before about it, that I've met a few people and they've discovered I've got this train stored and it's a beautiful thing. It's absolutely stunning what he's done.
Weighs what, half a ton?
Oh yeah, easily.
Poof.
Easily.
Bit like a kiln.
Yeah. You're just saying. It's an absolutely stunning object, and it's just amazing. I've got lots going.
Well, is it going?
No.
It's steam powered?
Yes. So it's exactly like a steam locomotive, but it's just a 16th of the size. So he started with the designs of a locomotive. I can't remember the actual name of the locomotive off the top of my head. But the other thing he's done, because my stepdad was never, he kind of liked to keep to himself and stuff, so he'd made it so it doesn't, the gauge of the train you couldn't actually go and transport it and go and play at Founders Park or something like that, because he's set it specifically for the gauge of the tracks that he's made, so he's not going to go play trains with someone else. But I have talked to a few people in the Bay that we really have found out, and they kind of glaze over with their eyes, and they're quite excited to come and play trains.
I grew up on the railways. You know, it's I brought that up only because, you know, something like that, some engineering feat, is it an amazing bit of engineering? Obviously, but is that art?
Oh.
Yeah.
You've got to see it. And I mean, definitely. The way that the attention to detail in what he's done, and the problem solving and relationship, is it art? Definitely, in terms of creative problem solving, is what we're teaching in the art department, and that's also what happens in the workshop, is that creative problem solving and how am I going to work this out and solve the problems to make it, and how am I going to learn the skills to make it, and I know that my stepdad had to make a lot of jigs up and things just to be able to make it, and castings and things. It's quite amazing what he did. So it's not just the finished object, it's everything that went into it.
It's the process and how many years it took him.
And it took him 13 years to do it. And he was quite quite obsessed with it. He's that real personality. Mm.
And some people wouldn't have finished it.
No.
You know, there's projects like that half finished around the country, I'm sure, of that people have kind of, well, this is just too much. So that takes a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that comes back to why are we doing art at school too?
Yes.
And I keep saying to students, this is about creative, you know, it's about creative problem solving. And where else are you going to think about the rest of your life and others' careers? Where does creative problem solving come in? And that's from, working out how to fix the car, or how am I going to plant my garden, to running a business has got massive amounts of creative problem solving you've got to do, and to be able to keep the sales going, and how am I marketing myself, and how do I look and present myself. So there's lots. That was something that we always getting told when I was at art school, that the fine arts students actually were really valuable for in big business, because it's that pushing the boundaries and thinking outside the square and creative problem solving that is a valued asset to business as well.
Yeah. So there you go. It's compulsory early on in the high school system.
It is. It is up till year 10, and then level one it's an elective.
Yep.
I must say, and I'm super proud of my students, at Year 10, we have, they are doing an achievement standard for Level 1, and they've been doing really well with it. So we just did some marking last night. I get together with Elder, the art teacher at Collingwood, and we do marking. So, they've done really well, and that's a taniwha prints, woodcuts, and, we'll do the plug. So we've got an exhibition of that later on in the year.
Wow.
In the vault.
Yes, no, I do know that's coming, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
That, what sort of style of printmaking is it?
So when we talk about how that's been developed, so that's come from looking at the base of Māori design and what a kōwhaiwhai is essentially, and the expression of energy through kōwhaiwhai, and then also bringing in and using Robin Slow as an artist model. So when we talk about artist model, we're looking at the way that Robin uses symbolism, and he uses his composition. So he has these strong symbols within his composition, and the way that his kōwhaiwhai is expressive of telling stories. And so that's translated. We get the students to study design and looking at Robin Slow and doing studies in their book, and then starting to develop a taniwha design. So what we have been looking at in this year rotations is Huriawa, who is at the Pupu, and what the story is of her. So it's also about the new curriculum too, is about understanding your environment and historical significance. So she's really quite significant. And in the past we've also looked at the Nahirara Hura, the one at the Wainui, who made Howard Toll, was the legend, and the one who made Parapara Inlet, which I'm not going to be able to say
probably. No, it's all right.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
That was a wee while ago we did that one. So we look at been looking at the story of the taniwha and how Huiara is, she cleans the waterways and she lives under the mountains and she goes out to sea, and what sort of animal she could be in terms of living in the water. And it is a female, and she's a good taniwha, where the others have been known for eating people. And then that design is translated into a woodcut, and it's a large woodcut. So the students go through the process of learning a woodcut process and then printing it and having to get a couple of good prints. So what gets marked for the achievement standard, and this year it's 5 credits, and it's a big chunk out of their level one for next year. It's great. So they have their workbook as well as the finished print as part of the marking. Them what gets marked, so they've got to show their thinking ideas and how they got there, as well as the finished print. And part of it has to be a project, this achievement standard, for the students. So what is really awesome to be able to exhibit it their work in the vault is that that has to be something that is a project that is for a purpose or an exhibition. So it just fits perfectly to be exhibiting them in the vault.
And so how many will there be?
So we're looking at about around 30, I think.
Wow.
30 prints. And then Elder from Collingwood is keen to have her her students work in, because she's been doing an achievement standard with her year 10s as well. So
good. Cool. Yeah, look, we've got to support youth, because that's tomorrow's artists, and there's some such good talent coming through now. So, yeah, no, thank you, and thank you for inspiring kids. You know, it's really important. So, you know, I appreciate everything you do with that. I would like to, just say thank you, and I look forward to seeing the exhibitions.
Oh no, thank you, Grant. So, it's good to sit and think about all these things and have a chat.
Yeah, no, thank you, Georgina West. keep inspiring the children. Thank you for your company today. You've been listening to Art Talk Tākika with me, Grant Knowles. We've been talking to artists about their inspirations, passions and journeys. Art should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Brought to you by Art Vault Tākika.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.